Well, happy fucking happy hour. It's my fucking friend is here. You know how we know we're friends? Because I don't even fucking know how to pronounce your last name. John Kinnaly?
That's it.
Okay, yeah. I did it right. I wasn't sure if it was Kinley or Kinnaly.
Everyone says Kinnaly and I never correct them.
How's it spelled?
John?
K-I-N-N-A-L-L-Y. Hmm. Probably changed Ellis Island from something.
Yeah, Irish to begin with, probably.
Okay, let me just do your plug first, your resume. He's one of the best writers in Hollywood. He was one of the writers on Will and Grace, which is how he got famous. But you've done Ugly Betty, Two Broke Girls. A million other things, right?
Exactly. We were 8 years on Will and Grace. We started at the beginning, and then we stayed with it all the way to the end. And Tracy, and my writing partner, Tracy Post, and I were running it by the end. And we had, it was a great gig.
Can you get closer to the phallic shape object?
I never need to be asked that twice.
Yes.
And we had a great time, and we were on it for 8 years, and it seemed like Hollywood's easy.
You know,
working on a TV show is easy. Why is everyone complaining?
Yeah, well, that's because you're a spectacular writer.
That must be it.
And luck Jim, can you? I know you don't like getting closer to the phallic shape objects, but if you wouldn't mind.
I'm Herb from Saturday Night Live.
I thought you meant to punch you
in the head.
Okay. All right. John, we've been friends, but what a great time to have you on. When you look at where we've come with gay rights, marriage equality, and was it the vice president that cited Will and Grace as one of the huge...
He did, and that was sort of made me popular again a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Bell with the ball.
Awesome.
I almost trended when he said that. But I did get phone calls, and Max Muchnick and David Cohen, who created the show, Will and Grace, they got invited to the Smithsonian, and I think the Smithsonian put up like a gay wing. A gay wedding, you know, a gay wing, I guess they put up. And what was I saying? I think I have a letter in there. I wrote a letter to focus on the family.
Oh, well, it's funny you should mention that, because I have the aforementioned letter. Could I have some letter reading music?
Sure.
How awesome is this, Jim? So his letter is in the Smithsonian because it was so fucking famous.
I think... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. What? Oh.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. What's the cubic? Never mind. VUCA. Never mind. No. All right.
What's the cubic?
Don't get him started. Don't start Cosbying him.
What's a cubic?
What?
No.
A
cubit.
It's, right.
What is cubit?
Ancient measurement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark had to be a certain number of cubits or something.
Okay, here's the important thing.
Right. Who is this really?
Because these guys feel like dinosaurs now, these anti-gay family values, like religious people. But back then, this is why this took some major balls, my friend, because back then they had a lot of power. They had power to cancel TV shows.
They did. And Ellen, Ellen had just gotten canceled. That sort of...
Oh, here, I'm not reading it yet. Go ahead.
Burned bright and then flamed out. And then in the shadows of that, we sort of like, Will and Grace came on the air. And Monica Lewinsky thing had just happened. That's always my theory that started dominating the news cycle. And like, so Will and Grace got on and those people that you're talking about were sort of up in arms about Monica. And we sort of slipped past. So
under the radar.
We don't have time for other gay BJs. We've got presidential blowjobs to deal with now.
And blue dresses on women. Not on
men. Exactly.
Right. Interesting. But anyway, and so this whole ex-gay movement that's been so completely discredited and is just laughable.
Tracy and I wrote an episode about that ex-gay ministry. And Neil Patrick Harris, I think at the time, you know, he wasn't out at the time, but I think he was like trying to dip a toe in and see how.
Sure.
So I think he contacted us, I think, and wanted to be on the show. As a lot of people were doing back then.
Right.
And so we asked him if he'd want to play this ex-gay guy, like that the character Jack runs into his ex-boyfriend who's now straight.
Right.
And so in the episode we had...
Speaking of which, Sean Hayes wasn't even out yet.
No, he wasn't even out
yet. Which was hilarious. You're like, really? Yeah. Okay.
Maybe these people weren't gay until they did the show. I don't know. So we did that ex-gay ministry thing, and we had fun with it. And we.
I was going to say the religious right was right. You did make gay America gay, you bastard. You were in charge of the homosexual agenda in Hollywood.
It is catching. And now it's caught on, and now it's boring. Everyone's wanting to be gay and get married.
Yeah. But anyway, so this was the episode. But again, we forget like how hugely controversial it was back then. And so you... But again, as you say, like the idea is to make it funny. You're a comedy writer.
Yeah, we couldn't make any political statements of any kind. And even though I had my own agenda, I came from ACT UP in New York. I was like, I'm on a gay show, and Will Truman, you know, the lead, is going to be gay out loud and proud. And it wasn't like that at all. You know, it's got to be funny. Like you said, you couldn't take a political stance, really.
Do you feel like, because that always got bandied around back then, too, is that... you know, Ellen's show got, because people were like, oh, look, her show got canceled.
Right, right.
But I know people said back then, like, oh, I got a little too preachy and too about that rather than being funny.
Funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. That was the point. Exactly.
I think that's Grace never stopped being funny.
And there was a school of thought back then when Ellen got canceled. Like, it's all homophobia and she comes out and they canceled it. It really wasn't that.
Right. Okay, she's hilarious and look how successful
she's
she is.
She's great. I think, I don't know who's to blame, and maybe they got caught up in an a wave of making a change or making a difference, but those episodes were seemed to be only about being gay,
right,
and not just entertaining,
exactly,
because that show was funny.
I love that I said, look how successful she is now, as if she wasn't then. Look, I'm doing a fucking show in my basement, and I'm like, oh, well, now she's made it.
What a second act she's had.
You're going to make it after all in your basement.
So this is just, again, I have to give my friend props for the fucking elephant balls he had, but also how hilarious this was.
And when was this?
Why this is in the Smithsonian, because, okay, give me my letter.
When was it?
2000.
Okay.
I'm reading July 14th, 2000. So this guy is the...
Last century. Oh, no, wait, no.
Written to you by Mike Haley. Mike Haley, public policy, youth, and gender specialist from... is Focus on the Family?
Yes.
Dear Mr. Connolly... Because back then, like, this was, you take this shit seriously, and oh my god, they're going to boycott us, we're going to lose sponsors, we're going to get canceled.
Right.
I have another writer friend you'd know. Remember that did the Daniel show that got canceled? Oh, I'll think of it. Same
Daniel
thing, but
he got,
it actually did work then, like, they boycotted it and the show got canceled.
Sure, yep.
It was about a, anyway, I'll think of it.
He was a priest, I think. Daniel was a priest?
I don't remember or think of it. Okay. Dear Mr. Connolly, I'm writing to request a meeting with you regarding a recent episode of Will and Grace. The show in question grossly misrepresented thousands of individuals struggling to come out of homosexuality.
Oh, God.
As a former gay man...
Oh, okay. Right. Is this the one that ran off with the other founder?
Yeah, remember the guys that...
I don't think it's the same guy, but I remember that's
such
a great story.
Remember the first X-Men movement? Those two guys ran off together.
Why isn't that a lifetime really gay movie? Way. Where's that?
Yeah.
they ran off together in a totally gay way with their, like, feet hitting their butt. Just totally... As former gay man and now a national spokesman and expert on homosexuality.
I'm sure.
And youth issues.
That was amazing.
For Focus on the Family.
I'm actually not. He might have something to teach me.
One of the country's largest organizations who, among other things, assist gays and lesbians who desire to be heterosexual.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I know firsthand how frustrating and painful it is to be mocked by those who haven't taken the time to find out what this process is all about.
Mother, why did you do this to me?
I'm specifically talking about references in the show to former homosexuals and those wrestling with their sexual identity as freaks, self-loathing closet cases, morally wrong, and members of cults. Nowhere in this episode are we portrayed as honest men and women seeking help. You may vehemently disagree with this position, but I'd at least like the opportunity to sit down with you and talk about it. Our conversation may not change your mind about the possibility of coming out of homosexuality, but at the very least, it will put a real face behind the caricature you depicted on primetime TV. And in the end, hopefully it will encourage you to think twice before ridiculing the belief systems of those who differ from you. With that in mind, please respectfully consider my request, Mr. Connolly. I can be reached at blah, blah, blah. Thank you. Sincerely, Mike Haley.
In response.
Well, I feel bad now because now that I'm hearing that.
By the way, don't all y'all feel bad? Some of the classic responses you feel like you've emailed somebody have not ended up in the Smithsonian. Don't feel bad.
Okay.
The John Connolly's.
But I am going to friend him on Facebook. And
they usually end up in my draft folder, and then I get rid of them after I've sobered up.
Yes. This was classic.
Yeah.
He's going to. Dear Mr. Haley, I received your letter dated June 9 and was very interested in your point of view. The issues you raised are the very same ones we on the Will and Grace writing staff debate on a daily basis. Our decision to present the story on the ex-gay ministry was solely in the interest of creating the most comedic episode possible, and it was certainly not our intention to offend you in any way. But come on, Mike, even you've got to admit that fags trying to pretend they're straight is pretty darn funny.
Yes, bomb.
Yeah. In response to your request for a meeting, well, I think I can read between the lines on that one. I'm about 6'1", brown hair, green eyes, and I'm into rollerblading, baking cookies, and cleaning up afterwards. My dislikes.
All true.
My dislikes include game playing, negative attitudes, and condoms.
That was edgy.
That was edgy, yeah.
For the time.
Yeah. If any of this interests you, I can be found every Sunday at the Brunch and Beer Bust at the Motherlode in West Hollywood. I do hope you show, because like you, I'm an... I'm an expert on homosexuality, and in my expert opinion, this hard to get thing you're playing is hot, hot, hot. Respectfully, John Canale,
and
executive story editor, Will and Grace. P.S. Keep on watching.
And that is hanging in the Smithsonian.
In the Smithsonian, my friend's letter.
Well, also, obviously he was watching.
Yeah. Like, but also around that same time, David Brock was writing Blinded by the Right.
Right.
And he exposed that there are a lot of gay Republicans.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Lurking.
Shit, I'll say. Oh, what was the one we just, the breaking news?
Breaking on Wednesday as we tape this.
Family values activist Josh Duggar had a paid Ashley Madison account.
That's amazing.
And child buggerer, Duggarer.
Yeah.
Duggar, I just met her.
Yeah.
He diddled his sisters.
Yeah, really.
But were they on Ashley Madison? Sisters.
They were his siblings.
Good God.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who else? Anyone else that we know? Any good names?
He had an Ashley Madison account, and there was a list
to
of his likes.
To expand his dating circle outside right. his
There was a list of his likes and dislikes yeah. on there.
But don't judge.
I'm not judging. Is he married?
He is.
Yes.
He is
yes.
married, okay.
Yes.
I'm guessing Marcus Bachman didn't have one of those accounts.
Oh my God. Can we talk about Marcus Bachman?
Oh.
And his ex-gay ministry? I mean, it's still just, I thought
barbarians need to be disciplined.
Do you have it? Yeah. I thought that
we have to understand barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
He might have picked words with less sibilance.
Why are there so many sibilants in this sentence?
I'm in some sense.
The word discipline.
He needs you to give him a rewrite on that sibilance.
And then some discipline.
Exactly.
I'm going to write a syllabus on sibilance.
Now, what does he do? Do we know? What does he do for a living?
He runs
an ex-gay.
Does he really run?
Reparative therapy.
No,
clinic.
I thought they were shitting me when I was like, really, wait a minute. So this.
I think Michelle's hooking on the side.
This Christian, right? You know, a small government Republican woman congressman is running for president who's married to an obviously gay man who is using government funds. She's a small government.
Yeah.
Conservative. Sure. Using government funds, right, to in his ex-gay ministry.
But does it discredit it? Is he still doing it?
Oh, yeah.
I guess so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm good for
hasn't
him for
been,
hanging on.
I guess,
ruled,
yeah.
Hasn't it been ruled, like, illegal in a lot of...
That's what I thought.
Yeah, in Minnesota, it's not.
You know.
Is that... Oh, it's not
Yeah, it's state by state right now. There's no federal law banning it.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Okay, so...
At least he's family doing
values,
what he loves.
Family values people have not changed, I guess.
So. And I guess he's an expert on homosexuality, too. At this
it
point.
Sounds like it.
Oh, yeah.
I guess so. It's an outreach program. You know.
And downreach.
But. Sean, okay, so and other is your.
Teach him how to throw a ball.
Your handsome romantic.
How to throw a Vogue ball.
Yes.
Your handsome romantic husband is behind you right there, right?
He is.
Hi, Chris. Look at Chris Young. Oh, he's so handsome.
Got married in San Francisco when it was legal.
Oh, that's so typical.
Yay.
When that window opened. And, yeah. It was his birthday, and I thought it was a good birthday present. So I couldn't think of anything else.
So. Aw. How long ago? I forget.
When was that? It was in 2008? Is that when it was?
Okay. Yeah.
Jeez, you were bad at anniversaries.
14,000 couples or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
I don't know how many there were. But
oh,
in that like 2 month window or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
We went to San Francisco and got married on the spot where Marilyn Monroe married Joe DiMaggio.
Wow.
And the Harvey Milk was shot like a few offices down.
Oh,
that's
okay.
So fun.
No. Well.
Wow. A little bit between the dark and the light.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
okay.
I liked
all right.
That.
That has some resonance for a writer. Okay.
Yeah.
So, John Canale, tell us everything about you. So where? Because I don't know.
Well,
I don't know
tell
where
you
you're
I was
from.
Inspired. I write for television.
Yes.
And I was inspired by this plaque behind me that says, "I want to be the person my dog thinks I am."
Right.
Because I saw that here maybe a year ago, and my writing partner Tracy and I decided we had that inspired a TV show we wanted to do about. Sort of a train wrecking woman.
I must
wanted...
not be getting the checks. I don't. Oh,
I have them right
must have
here.
Them
they were on me.
tell.
That plaque inspired a show that we wanted to write. And it was like a train wreck woman before train
Excuse
wreck
me?
Came along.
Excuse me?
What?
Who decided she had to become the person that her dog thought she was because she really wasn't. And you know how dogs look at you like you're a hero
right.
and you
right.
can't do anything wrong.
Right.
And so
Daisy, your beagle, looks at you like that.
Oh, she does.
How cute is Daisy the beagle with her green eyes?
I'm a goddess, in her eyes. And I just wanted to give you props for that because that inspired.
Thank you.
Not that it went anywhere. Well, nobody bought it. So
it's not my fault.
You won't be getting a check.
Yes. Hence the lack of cash.
Yeah.
Here, have some more booze.
Hence
won't
the
you?
Cheap champagne. I'm sorry. It's good champagne. It's booze, I think. It's
all right, whatever, fancy Hollywood writer. God. Ouch. Should I take that wrong, Chris?
I
wrote a show about you. It's a woman's a train wreck. Like you said that, like,
exactly.
Obviously.
And it didn't go anywhere. So
why am I not getting anything from Amy Schumer?
It didn't go anywhere, so nobody wanted you.
I know.
Even that was a train wreck.
Exactly.
It was mostly based on not so much you, but your plaque.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe a little bit.
No. So, no, wait. Tell us everything. Where are you from?
I'm from Syracuse, New York, upstate New York.
Oh, that's right. We have talked about that. From Buffalo.
I think we have. There's no reason to ever go there.
No, there is not.
I can't think of no.
There's a good university there.
There is a good university. I didn't get to go.
Yeah, okay.
They didn't take me. But I remember my mom. My mom was a lunch lady in high school, and she tried really hard to get a job as a lunch lady at Syracuse University. So thinking, then I could go, but it didn't work out. That didn't work out.
She could have gone to work for Kim Jong-il. God,
that is a show. That's a movie. Lunch Lady Dreams. Come on.
Oh yeah.
Do we ever really get inside the mind of lunch ladies? We did not.
I'm working on a script called Late in Life Lesbian Lunch Ladies.
Wow. That's for Tom Brokaw.
Okay, did you just make that shit up right fucking
now? No, but I like the title so much that I decided this got to
go. Tom Brokaw hates that title. Lesbian Lunch Ladies.
Late in Life.
Late in Life in Lillehammer.
Yes. This just in. John Canale has a new series about
lunch lady lesbians
in
Lillehammer.
With the
Lose team.
he'll do the book on tape version.
Yes, that works.
So now wait, what'd your dad do?
My dad worked in a factory. He polluted. I lived on a little.
Was a Rolling Stone.
A little lake. Yeah, yeah. I wish he was a Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
He worked in a factory that polluted the lake we lived on,
nice.
Which was awesome. At one point declared like the most polluted lake in the country.
Yes,
and I was always very proud of that.
Wow.
Daddy, what'd you do today? I gave you emphysema, son. Yeah.
Enjoy it. And you may be sterile.
Yay!
Which turned out to be fine.
Thank God you're fagged.
Yeah.
I'm not gay. I'm just sterile.
Well, I decided.
What?
Wow. So you really, we have to do your life story. That's really like
I know. I'm making it sound bleaker than it was. But it was blue collar. Yeah, it was blue collar.
Yeah.
Lunch lady and factory worker.
Yeah.
Some things you never get away from.
If we could throw dance into it, it could be like a upstate New York flash dance, something.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
Where the
Come
elders.
On, work with me here.
The elders won't allow dancing and yeah. Sarah.
Like, no, that's what was.
Billy Elliot or something.
Were they religious?
They were religious, my father especially, so we were Catholic, and I was convinced I was going to hell, when I started to think.
When did you start?
My dad had a bad back, and he had a box of Dones always around.
Sure, God, Dones pills.
There was that man's back on the cover.
He had lightning bolts coming out of it.
He's sort of leaning, holding his back. He's in so much pain. Yeah. And when I saw that guy, something clicked.
That's hot. That's hot. Bent over a little more.
He had a nice ass.
He did. And he was in pain and needed comforting, I guess. Somebody
needed to. You're like, I'll make lightning bolts shit out of your ass. I'll show you.
And I'm still trying.
Aww.
I never got to meet him, but that made me know something was wrong, and then I'm religious, I'm Catholic, I'm going to hell.
Me too. I grew up Catholic in upstate New York.
Yeah.
My Catholic grandmother haunted my dreams. She just... Yeah. Oh.
This has haunted us in
She
previous.
Was a ghostly cock blocker,
Yeah. No one fucking likes a ghostly
That's
cock blocker.
That's my pilot, ghostly cock blocker. Yeah.
Who are you going to call?
Can I take that?
Yeah.
Who can you call? Ghostly cock blocker.
You can't call anyone. They never let you.
Who needs condoms? You just, no.
It's almost like, the stunt crews, they have the yank back where they pull this thing and you fly back against the wall.
Yeah.
That was like grandma going, no, don't touch it. Stop it. Leave it alone.
Wow.
That is
was that her real
not
life?
Not in so many words, but I just kind of sensed her presence, her evil.
Jim, that story creeps me out each and every time you tell it. It really does. It's really.
Do you still sense her? Is she still around?
Probably.
Yeah.
But now that I'm talking about her, she's climbing.
Yeah, fucking bitch. Fucking ninja bitch.
Because it's hard to
We see you, Grandma. Call. You fucking cock blocker.
We actually had a friend of Janice's who's...
His lovely wife.
Yes. Who's kind of a medium, and she like has people talk through her. And she doesn't need a microphone.
Yeah.
But we heard Janice's mother... Who was a lunatic? She was from the area where they, you know, shut up and have the pill.
Yeah,
and she was just out of her mind, and she, you could hear her yelling through this woman, Marla, and then I heard the voice of not the voice necessarily from the grandmother.
Your cock blocking grandmother.
But it was just, she was saying that it's someone who knew me when I was very young. I thought, Aunt Eleanor? No, she was really nice, But I realized later it was...
You were like, it's Grandma Cockblocker.
Damn you.
Grandma Cockblocker. God damn it, that cunt.
No, but her message was, you need to lose 20 pounds!
Oh, wow.
I was just going to say, if a medium gains weight, does she become an extra large? I don't. I'm just asking.
Really?
That was dumb. All right.
Really?
Listen, not all of us can be award-winning Hollywood writers. Okay, so how old are you?
I made that joke when Patricia Arquette won an Emmy 1 year for medium.
Uh-huh.
Remember that? We were at the Emmys.
Right.
We were nominated. No, I don't know. The show was nominated. And she won, and she walked up, and I said medium, more like large, to Jimmy Burrows. Not like, you know, just to make him laugh.
Right.
And it was, and I don't think I whisper. I've always been told I don't really whisper.
Oh, boy. No inside voice. Oh,
there were
Jesus.
Some ugly looks from people around me. Oh, no. Terrible.
Oh, no.
Terrible.
You catty gay.
Because I don't even know if she's fine. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Well,
don't try to make it better now.
If you saw Boyhood, you saw her go up and down in weight
and hair
and hair
too.
Yeah,
some of those hair, those wigs.
All right, boys.
What?
All right. So, now, how old were you when you wanted to knob gobble the Dones guy? Was that the wrong way to put that?
Do you want to know something crazy? I still have the box.
Oh,
I would have brought
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah. And your back feels fine.
Is that the only box you've ever touched?
It might.
You see.
Okay.
So far. We'll see. I don't know. Now that gay is so popular, maybe I'll go the other way. Maybe I'll call him.
Yeah,
what's
his
name? Mike Haley.
There you go. Oh, Mike Haley. See what he's up to.
Yeah, teaching to Jack.
How old were you when you... When you talked about that, when you said, I'm going to hell and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, God. Probably five. Earliest
okay.
memories.
Wow, earliest really? Memories.
Five. Yeah.
I thought I was going to hell for jerking off when I was like,
oh,
wow.
Six.
Well, you are, Jim.
Catholics really fuck you up.
Yeah. Well, my dad came from a Catholic family, but I was never. We were Episcopalian, supposedly, through my mom, but they were also my uncle, the fascist priest. who I found out later after he died that he cheered when Martin Luther King was killed.
Oh,
but
geez.
He, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he's, you know, very entertaining, but he was like to the right of Hitler.
Well
slightly to the left of Hitler.
All right, tiny bit to the left.
I was exaggerating for effect.
Wow. Jim, have you ever done that? No, we discussed on the last happy hour how Catholicism fucked me up a little bit.
Yes.
You're Catholic. You're Catholic.
It's caused you to lie to yourself all this time.
My sister and my mom were both virgins when they got married, and so I remember my high school boyfriend.
And you will be too.
Right. My high school boyfriend and I, who he turned out to be gay too, but we always said, we thought we didn't have sex because we both were Catholic.
Right.
Because we never went all the way.
That's why.
Like, right. That's what it was.
Go
but we were, like, that's why I thought we, you know, because we did all the dry humping to bread.
Right.
Baby, I'm a woman.
Not the song, baby, actual bread.
bread, which is weird.
No, you had his dick in your mouth.
Nobody could afford the cassette.
I did not have my high school boyfriend's dick in my mouth.
Really?
Oh, God, that was like just through the clothes in high school.
Oh, really?
You're a Catholic.
All
when
right.
did you take a dick?
You?
When did you eat a dick? We don't need that.
When did you eat a dick?
In college. I didn't eat a dick till college.
That's the title of your autobiography.
Thank you.
You're next.
Thank you.
With the washcloth next to the bed.
Yes. In college, I had a washcloth. My roommate Laura was like, oh, God. Oh. Was Mike here? Why is there that disgusting washcloth next to the bed?
Oh, it's stiff.
That stiff one, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like a conch shell or like, sort of, like a seashell. What is that?
Oh, all the DNA on that.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, if he did anything, I would have had him, man. Law and Order, I'd have been like, look.
That
would be your new dress.
I was just going to say that.
It'd be Friday night on NBC.
But what was I saying? Oh, no, but we said later, we were like, oh, you know, we thought we just, you know, dry humpy, humpy, humpy. But just because we thought we were Catholic and we weren't supposed to, you know.
Right, right, right.
But as it turns really, out.
Yeah, it screws you up. And at some point, I think I decided, when I realize I'm going to hell and there's nothing I can do about it, right. Even I can go to confession, you know, twice a week, whatever, it's not right. going to make a difference. I thought, well, then I'm going to live, I'm going to try to have a good life. You know, enjoy it now because I'm going to hell and I'll be burning in hell, you know, for eternity. So that was when I thought, well, I made a decision to get the hell out of Syracuse and go to New York uh-huh. and have a lot of sex. And
sure. If you're burning in hell for all eternity, don't you get used to it eventually, you would think? Because there'll be nothing left.
And all your friends are there.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah.
You're just, all right, I'm ash already. What the fuck do I care?
Right.
Right. So wait, so now, but did you date girls? Did you do the thing?
I did date girls. I tried that. I had girlfriends. I had sex with girls. And
so you're not a gold star?
Oh, gold star, no.
No?
I just heard that expression the other day.
Yeah.
Did they literally give those out?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. At the meetings.
No, no. Uh-huh. You know, you get really good. This sounds so crass. I don't know. Well, this is the argument we had last week.
I've never had sexual intercourse with a man. I've done everything, but they claim that I'm not a virgin. I claim that I am, but I also claim that I'm Gen X, and that's not true either.
No. Not even close.
Well, how do you define virginity? Because there is.
Well, to me, it always meant sexual intercourse. Because it, that,
you mean
know,
literally,
that's when you had to worry about birth control and conceiving a child. And it was a whole Catholic thing. And you
what
know.
About two women then? When do they lose their virginity together? Can they not?
I don't think virginity applies to women together.
Count?
Pardon me?
Does digital manipulation count as a...
Yes, that's penetration.
That's penetration. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that counts.
But not analog.
Okay. Not analog, yeah.
I think if you so Google you, so it, Chris, virginity refers to sexual intercourse between a man and a woman, I'm just saying.
So you have to have penis penetration with ejaculation.
Oh, it has to go to ejaculation.
Is that what you're saying?
No, Jim, that's a good call. I don't know if it has to go to ejaculation. I'm not... You know what?
It does for me.
Travis, what does the line judge say? We need the line judge. Does there need to be ejaculation, or as long as there's penetration, is that intercourse?
It's all electronic now.
No,
they
I think just penetration.
So a blowjob isn't
according to her.
You don't lose your virginity if you.
Right, according to her, you don't.
No.
So what if you gave like 100 blowjobs? And you could still say.
Listen,
I'm a virgin.
I got really good at it because you know when that's your rule.
Well, you.
I say if you take a load down your throat. Then,
okay, I didn't do that much.
All bets are
despite
off.
Despite the whole it's good
that,
protein
then you're
thing.
Not a virgin. Seriously.
Right. No, despite right. the whole it's good protein, I did not. That's why there was a washcloth. Yes, Travis? Line judge?
If your hymen is broken, you're not a virgin. And as much spin class as you've been to, you've broken your hymen.
I have not broken my hymen in spin class.
And if hymen Roth is broken, then we need another... installment.
Oh, Hyman, my accountant, once did. Okay, but that was different. Okay, John.
Yes.
Wait. So you did the whole dating, whatever.
Go with girls.
Did you tell? So, what did you tell your parents anything, or when?
You know, I never did, and I did a chorus line in college, and I invited them to come see it, and that was my. I thought that was my like coming out to them.
Wait, you did what?
A chorus line?
Oh, you know. Yeah, that's okay. So fucking gay. Michael and Bennett from Buffalo.
Oh, yeah, from Buffalo.
Right, the brilliant choreographer that died of AIDS was from Buffalo, right. Yeah.
I was just in Buffalo a couple months ago.
My vocal coach in college died of AIDS, and he's the only guy, strangely, that I know for sure died of AIDS. Mm. I mean, you know, being in theater and music, right. All that, I probably should have known a lot more.
Yeah, but you probably do.
He's the only, yeah.
Hey, Chris, can you touch that knob right behind your head? Because I think that there's music on, or I'm having a stroke.
You turn the music on.
Yeah, but
you've got the music in you, clearly.
Yes, thank you.
Well, that's all I've had in me.
Really?
Okay, John, okay,
we
so
brought
what's...
up AIDS.
Now, when did you leave? You went to New York? Did you go to college? You just went to New York City?
I was in New York City. I escaped to New York City like fags do back then.
Right.
Young gay people.
Where the fags... I saw the movie Where the Fags Are.
Where the fags are.
Right, yes.
And they were in New York.
Uh-huh, yeah. Yes.
And maybe on the other coast, too.
Yes.
I was closer there.
Yes. San Francisco?
No.
Couldn't be. And, I, you know, tried to be an actor. Met some friends, wrote for a comedy group called Loud Blouse. We performed all over downtown. And I did this soap opera at the Pyramid Club. Do any of you know the Pyramid?
No. Mm-hmm.
Drag queens. And, you know, I was a big drag hag.
So wait, you wanted to be an actress?
I wanted to be an actress.
Excuse me, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You said drag. Actor, or you wanted to be a writer?
I wanted to be an actor, and I was. I was on stage, and I don't know if I was any good. I was fine. I worked with a lot of drag queens. This is like the early mid 90s when drag first exploded. Right. This is the second
after Paris
exploded.
Is Burning.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I feel like we're in the second wave of it. Right. But back then, you know, it was sort of fun and new and never work with drag queens. They're very difficult. very difficult.
Divas.
Oh my God. And then I realized, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to make it as an actor. I'm pushing 30. So I had friends who came out here and wrote a television show and said, come out and write for it. And I came out thinking I'm going to get a job on the show. And then my friend got fired off the show. So I came out and I catered. I was a cater waiter mm-hmm. here. And then Will and Grace came along.
Wow.
Yeah, we were very
And that was
lucky.
Your first writing job here?
It was literally first writing job.
Wow.
It was our first interview. A friend of ours, Michael Patrick King, who name dropped, sure. He wrote Sex and the City and created lots of stuff. And
yes,
I've heard
of
Girls
him.
And all that. He got our he worked on Will and Grace and he got our spec scripts to Max and Dave and they liked it and we got this job. And I remember getting home one day from a catering gig and there were two messages on my answering service machine, I think.
Oh my God, it was back with machines.
I think
right?
It was a machine.
Remember how they fucking taunted you like yeah, are a loser.
Yeah, you are a loser.
You like there was no blinking and like no one called you.
You also had to leave like a message on it, like back in the day. You, yep. You'd say leave a message for John and if this is Joe, I'll be at the corner of blank and blank at 3:00. You had to leave messages yeah. for other people. Right. So my mother would always leave a message saying, okay, now I know you're not there and I'm gonna rob your apartment.
Don't say you're not there.
But so I got home that one day from catering and I played the messages and the first message was my bankruptcy lawyer saying the bankruptcy had gone through.
Oh, like, heard, oh like, fantastic.
And then the second one was like, Will and Grace, you got a job on Will and Grace.
Wow.
Well, I probably didn't have to declare
That's a little
bankruptcy.
Different. Than yeah.
That. Yeah. Michael J. Fox tells that story about he was negotiating his contract for Family Ties at like the, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken. He's like, I couldn't afford like, you know, the, I couldn't even afford the small like chicken meal.
Right, right.
I was, like, you know.
I remember when I used to stop at payphones between Santa Barbara and LA. You had to like click it into the payphone. Wow.
Yeah. Those I thought answering machines were cruel. Because remember before those, you could just, that's how old we are. Mm. You could just, you could live on the delusion that a lot of people called you and you were just really popular.
Right, right, right.
Until that like non-blinking light would taunt you like nobody called. You've been gone for
not even a wrong
9
number.
Hours, nobody called.
Not even
called.
A wrong number and back
nobody
then there were
called.
All,
right.
All those people who call now, you know. But
Richmond 9774.
So
wait a minute. Cinderella story.
Yeah, that is amazing.
My Cinderella story.
But you are an incredibly talented funny writer.
Oh, thank you.
So that obviously, if that had just been a fluke, that would have been it. But then tell us what else you've done. You've done
well, like I said,
Ugly Betty, Two Broke Girls.
We stayed on Will and Grace for all 8 years of it till the bitter end.
Was it 8 years?
It was 8 years. Yeah, wow. And they wanted to be a ninth year, but I was so glad we stopped when we did.
Yeah,
just because it's like leave the party before you're the last one there, and then I don't know what we did something, and then we went to Ugly Betty, which was another great show.
Yeah,
that we loved.
They have it in Spanish too.
Yeah.
La Fea.
It was originally in Spanish.
Yo Soy Betty La Fea.
Yeah.
It started, I think it was a Colombian telenovela and then remade in different countries and finally made its way to the U.S. And
Salma Hayek was...
Salma Hayek was a producer.
Producer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And she was hot and so nice.
You didn't go straight from
I did not
Salma
go straight.
Wow.
Well, then it's,
I don't know,
you know
who
the ship,
go
your ship has sailed.
You know, Chaka Khan. I think he's the only one I might
Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Really?
I'm sorry, Chaka Khan?
Chaka Khan.
Did you say what?
Chaka Khan.
I'm sorry, who? Sorry. Yeah. This is what we're like when we drink and just hang out. This is how fucking... I was going to say...
This is fun.
Yeah, I knew what you were going to say. You pulled back, thank
Developmentally
disabled.
We're just fucked up.
Were you going to say?
Nothing.
Okay.
We're just immature.
Because were you worried about being...
That's wicked retarded.
I'm sorry. Everyone has to be so PC. There. It's hard.
I went to Boston.
That's right. If we were in Boston, it'd be fine. All right. So, and then Two Broke
More
Girls.
About me. Back to me.
Tess, back to you.
Oh, we were on Ugly Betty.
Okay.
We were on Ugly Betty.
Yes. La Fea.
And that was
Esta Noche.
Blast. And we wrote an episode where Justin the Gay Kid was elected Homecoming Queen.
Yes, I remember that episode.
You know, to his humiliation, but then he turned it around, and so we got to do more of our gay agenda. And
I knew there was a gay agenda.
I love that show. It went away though because the writer's strike happened at that time.
Oh,
if you guys remember the writer's
strike. Yeah.
Yeah.
And And then we came back from the writer's strike, and the show just didn't find just didn't get the ratings again. Like, people didn't come back to TV so much.
You know, a
lot of shows suffered from that writer's strike.
Yeah. What? How much do you feel that a reality star is the front runner for the Republican come? Because it's what, you know, everybody's like, oh my God, it's killing like real television, like Will and Grace with great writing and acting.
Right. I always thought that when reality came along.
It's actor-free television. It's just...
But now he's the fucking front runner because now he's huge. He's huge.
Huge.
I think he looks like his own penis when I look at him.
He does look like his own penis. Yeah, you're right.
Has anyone ever said that? Have you guys said that yet?
No. You know what? It would take a really great writer to make that analogy because it's true.
I know there's a little flap of hair down there. I don't know.
Right.
Now we've thought about it too much.
He's Trump. Overthunk it.
Here, have some more hooch.
Is he good? Is he going to do good?
Is it performance art? Is he fucking with us? Like, he's just...
No. Megyn Kelly had blood coming out of her eyes.
Oh, good stuff
and somewhere else. I don't know.
I think at first he was just doing it on a lark, but I think now that he's in the lead and within 6 points of Hillary...
The more people he insults... He's serious now. Like, you're good at insult humor. I mean, that's what I'm just saying. Who else does he... Every time he insults somebody, you know, war veteran, women... Fucking on the rack, like, you know, Mexican rapists. Mm-hmm. Like, you just go, oh my God, his poll numbers go up. And like, what? How does he? If you were his writer, how does he top himself? Like, if Ann Coulter is like, she must be like tweeting him. Here's what you say.
He actually has to start beheading people or something. Right? He's got
to
go to the
He
right
has to
level.
Behead somebody.
He
has to behead the subway guy. He has to behead Jared. Doesn't he?
Jared just lost another 30 pounds. I cut his head off.
Okay, that was funny.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was good. Nice job. Nicely done, sir. That was good.
Well done.
No, I was saying because the next debate is at the Reagan Library, he is going to have to pee on Reagan's grave and get some of the backslash
again.
On Nancy Reagan and then say she's an old, slow whore to knock it out of the way of the backslash.
If you weren't such a slow old whore... You wouldn't have got pee on you.
Yeah. And then he would have to make an Alzheimer's joke and be like, you know, like something. He'd have to, wouldn't it have to be like.
I think they'd still applaud.
Right. And then he'd still get like rock star cheer. And then there would be like a pause, like a Springtime for Hitler pause. And then. Oh, we've always wanted to say that to Nancy Reagan.
He says what no one's thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But don't you hate that people like, oh, you know. He's the biggest problem in the country. We're too politically correct. Really? Is that the biggest problem?
It is not.
That people can't
problem.
Be as racist and homophobic and sexist as they really want to be? Like, is that going to be now? Like, why can't you say faggot? Why?
Just
or
a bundle
cunt,
of sticks.
A cunt that's on the rag. Jesus.
You're talking about Immanuel Kant, the philosopher, obviously.
Yes. Why can't you say spick rapist? What the fuck?
If he got his way and he deported everyone who, even if you were born in this country, but your parents weren't.
Right.
Is he going to try to deport Obama? Because Obama's father was born in Kenya.
Oh, yeah. Well, half the Republican field will be deported. Bobby Jindal, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. Yes. So that thins out the herd a little bit.
The herd.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah. I'm the most American Cubanadian you'll ever find.
And if he wants to repeal the 14th Amendment, Ben Carson might have to go.
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, he would have to go. He'd be a slave.
He'd be a slave.
Right.
Oh, are we going
he'd
back
have
to
do
that too?
He'd have to do neurosurgery for free.
He wants to repeal the 14th Amendment, which caused birthright citizenship.
Go down.
You know, if you were born in this country, Moses, you were a citizen. They did that in order to make all slaves who were born in this country automatically citizens of the country.
Right.
So, but that's caused, you know, this problem...
No, Ben Carson, you know what he'd do? Like, I'm sorry, that was some very complicated neurosurgery I just did on your baby's brains, and normally that's $300,000. Like, you know, it's fucking free. You know why? Because you're a goddamn slave now, and it's 14th Amendment. So, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think Trump's thought that through.
No, he hasn't.
I don't think.
His people.
Yeah. Thinking's a waste of time when I could be making money.
I'm amazed at people.
It's to what degree that American people are going to buy just pure bullshit. Just buy the undercoating. You need it.
You need the undercoating and the overcoating. And the inside coating.
Because he's just, everything he proposes, it's totally unworkable. It is un. He was just. He's going to have to start to top himself along for. That. I'm going to build. We're going to build a wall. Mexico's going to pay for it.
Right.
Mexico's like,
John
you,
McCain isn't a war hero because he got shot down.
Fucking orangutan haired asshole. We're not paying for the wall. He's like, no, they'll just listen. Chuck Todd, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Listen
they'll do
to
it
me.
In pesos, Chuck, so Chuck, it'll take a while.
Yeah.
To me, when I look at his face, I can't get past his face. His features are migrating all towards the center of his
right,
face.
Right.
Like as they're actually moving.
Mm-hmm. It's like like an old tomato. It's just collapsing.
Right. Like his lips are always like this. They're always, every show you see, he's just like. And it's just, he has no sort of detail. Like, can someone get elected president? Can they get away with that? I'm going to repeal Obama here, replace it with something terrific.
Something terrific. You're going to love
any,
it.
Any details? No. Yes. Trust me. Trust me. John, believe he said, that's the sales guy. He says
terrific.
Your name. John, believe me. Trust me. You're going to love it.
Oh, it'll be a timeshare trust condo me. In hell.
I like that someone, you know, trusting someone, not yeah. having my own thoughts, and giving it over to somebody.
A Trump presidency would be like a 4-year-long timeshare presentation.
Yes, right. Exactly.
Right. Right.
A part of me thinks sometimes that we actually should do it just to, cause do we deserve it?
Yeah, no, somebody
yes,
said,
we deserve. Well, we deserve the trip to Hawaii at
if
the
we,
end.
If we elect, somebody said if we elect Trump, we're going to wake up in a bathtub full of ice, missing a kidney. What happened? I don't. He said that we would love this.
Trust him.
And it would be.
Well, he got another one. Shut up.
He did leave one kidney for you. Yeah.
You don't need two. That's the point.
It takes two.
Okay. So that's happening. But,
that is happening.
Yes. Yeah. And the weird thing is every third thing he says makes sense. Like they asked him, you know, should you be able to get fired for being gay? And he said, well, no, that shouldn't be a reason. It's like, okay, well, that's legal in a lot of fucking states. Fuckstick Von Clowns, whatever the fuck John Stewart
fuckface,
calls him.
Fuckface Von Clownstick.
Like, yes. Yeah. Like, he doesn't even seem to be aware of any of the laws of the land, the Constitution.
He doesn't have time to
be aware. He doesn't seem to, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just, All right, John Canale, tell us, so what happened? How did you went from New York, and then you did the thing about you got the Will and Grace out here. And then once you got that, your life has just been golden,
yeah.
hasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You're just the golden child.
It's been golden. What has happened since? The champagne is gone to my head.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Now, my writing partner Tracy and I are just trying to write shows. We tried to pitch that plaque one. Which didn't go anywhere.
Wait,
and
well, then we I got more plaques upstairs.
I know. I'm going to look through them. Believe me. And then we had this. Then we were working hard on this idea that we loved, and it was called Aunt Pete. And you can maybe get what it was about. We wanted to put a trans on television, a trans in a lead of a sitcom.
Oh, no one's ready for that.
This was a year
crazy.
Ago.
That's totally going to sell. Let's
this was
it.
A year ago, and we knew it was an uphill battle. And then
and
we didn't know
the title was Caitlin.
We didn't know Transmania was going to hit.
Right.
And hit this big.
Yes.
Wow.
And so
my book is out, which is number one, by the way, yeah. John. I don't mean to, you know, yeah. Sexy Liberal on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
However, had I known about the whole Caitlyn, I would have called it Call Me Contessa. Had I known the Caitlyn Jenner thing was going to be...
You should have a Halloween special. Transylvania.
There you go.
Yeah. And you can't say, you know, obviously right. You can't say the other T word.
Right.
But wait, so tell us
about
it.
Which we used
tell
on Ugly
more.
Betty, by the way. We made so many puns in Ugly Betty, and I do miss... You know, Donald
well, there
Trump
was a
is
transgender
right
character
thing.
On there.
Yes, and Donald Trump is right about the PCing of the world, because I feel that, too. I feel like...
So, as comedians, we feel. I agree with him on that sometimes.
And I know trans people should be called what they want to be called. They have a right to say that, but then I think we, on Ugly Betty, we made a lot of, like, you know, tranny get your gun jokes. And
sure.
All those good puns that you can't do anymore. It's taken away from us.
I actually dubbed, Jeffrey Tambor. Transparent into German.
Really?
Which was, yeah, and they had written it all out in German and made perfect sense, but it didn't match the lip movements.
Right.
Because the sentence structure is so different. So we had to like, rewrite it on the fly. But I was,
well, luckily,
Jeffrey
you're
Tambor
fluent
in German.
You're fluent in German.
Yeah.
Luckily.
So,
were you in full drag just to be in,
yeah, in German dress? Jack boots.
Jim is post.
Yes.
He had to have an operation to get that job. Because you know what? It's hard in Hollywood, motherfucker.
You do what it takes.
Like, you know what? If they say cut your dick off, you're like, all right. All right.
I've had it for however many years.
Gain weight, lose weight. Now the bar is raised.
Look, we should all transition.
Shouldn't
I feel
we?
Like I've been this gender a long time. I don't know what else I'm going to get from it. Try the other way.
Your handsome romantic husband sent me a hilarious thing on meditation tapes.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. We got to play this on the show, Chris.
Okay.
It's the YouTube. It's but, you know, it's like meditation. You're in an ocean. Forget about the shit show that's your life. Forget about shit.
The ocean is a shit show.
Stop it. Stop thinking about that. These bitches can't reach you now.
And it's calming. It is calming.
It is calming because it's more what you would want to think when you're trying to meditate.
It's more relatable.
Right.
Right. Well, if someone who's convinced everything is terrible, if you tell them everything's all right, they go crazy.
Right.
I mean, I had that experience with a psychiatrist. And say, what do you feel about that? I feel like hitting you in the head with a shillelagh. Luckily, we're not in Ireland.
That's random, too, a shillelagh. She'll be like, what does that mean, Jim? Did someone show me on the doll where someone touched your lucky charms?
Point to my my
penis. I think it might have been Killarney.
So, John, so your whole trajectory, you're out here, and how you met Chris when, your beautiful, talented husband.
I met Chris. We got set up by Laura Keitlinger. Do you guys know that?
Yes.
Kind of?
Yes.
I think we've talked about her before.
And we have a lot of mutual friends. Betty the band, our good friends.
Yes.
Was it one of those?
Oh, and I was at her wedding, Amy. Not to change the subject for a second, but I was at Amy Ziff's wedding over July 4th.
Oh,
weekend.
Yeah.
Did you know that? She got
married?
No,
I did not.
To her beautiful now wife, Christy. Aww. And I got to do the bump with Gloria Steinem.
Which was awesome. A dream.
Which is on my bucket list, for sure. As it's on everyone, probably.
Yeah.
No, it was amazing. I got to escort her. I don't, she's old, but she's completely hot and with it. And I got to escort her to the tent, and then we were dancing, and we did the bump.
That's rather awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? What's
or we did a bump.
What
cold?
A bump. Yeah. You did a bump. Okay.
All right.
Ben Steinem would be a lot less fun, I think, man.
Old enough to know what the bump is. That's,
yes.
Yes.
A booty bump.
Yeah.
And and who else was there? Sia was there. She sang a
who
wow,
was
Sia.
Oh. She sings. Singer.
Wow.
See ya. Chandelier.
See ya.
She says it.
She was amazing.
Chandelier is her big song, Steph.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
You
know
you don't.
Grandma knows.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. What?
Grandma can pretend she knows.
I did not know that. That's so fantastic. Yeah, and so.
Fantastic.
And I met Chris. Oh, Laura Keitlinger set Chris and I up. And another friend of ours, Blair Fell, this writer, they don't know each other, but they both set us up. And they said, one said to me, I know a great guy. And the other said to Chris, I know a great guy. And then we met each other at Akbar.
Yeah.
In Silver Lake. Uh-huh. We actually ran into each other. And the rest is gay herstory.
Okay. But let me explain how messy things are getting because our friends, Rob and Trish, Rob and Trish are here, who've been on the happy hour before.
That's right.
Oh, they have?
My besties. I'm in a throuple with them. And they're also kind of in a throuple with you guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're very, very slutty, which is why we love them. Because Chris is kind of Rob's boyfriend, even though Rob's straight. It's a weird thing.
They have a fake band together.
Yeah. Right.
The Vivian
yes.
Vance.
Exactly. They have a band called Vivian Vance.
The Vivian Vance.
Yeah. The Vivian Vance.
Mm-hmm. In high school, I was in a fake band called The Four Skins.
Yes.
Was that barbershop? We were all circumcised, but you know.
Well, yeah.
As it were.
That's weird.
Yeah.
I was wondering.
I don't know. Now I was trying to remember how we met, too. I can't remember.
Oh, I know exactly where I met
through
you.
Betty?
It was I'll never forget. It was Elizabeth Ziff's
yes.
from Betty.
Mm-hmm.
Her birthday party at the old Silver Spoon Diner
yes!
in West Hollywood.
Yes.
There was a bar there.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Which, if anyone remembers.
No, I used to live on that street, Havenhurst. So,
and she said you were a fan of the radio show, and I was like, no fucking way.
I was obsessed with the radio show, like I still am. I met I was so excited to meet you, and that you actually took my cell phone and put your information in, and for some reason it went in like 20 times. I had your name. I don't know why.
You're like, oh,
you were
she's
drunk,
so needy.
You were drunk.
And I'm bad at technology.
Yeah.
I was like, call me. Why haven't you called me? And you're like, oh, Jesus,
they tore the
really?
Silver Spoon down, which was
yes.
Yes.
Terrible, terrible thing how they're tearing L.A. down, but yes.
Yeah, I know. I remember. All right, yes, I do remember. That's. I knew it was a Betty-related connection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's what's next. You're trying to sell this new show. You're thinking about this new...
Well, the trans show
the trans
is out.
Come on.
Yeah, Transmania. So nobody wanted to hear another trans show. And now we've moved on to other things. We have a funeral parlor comedy. And it's fantastic. This is the time of year.
Because don't you feel like at some point everything's been done? You're like, oh, 6 feet under. We don't want to hear that. Like, oh, yeah, you know, you absolutely go, oh, everything's been
done. And sometimes it feels like on network TV, you just need a star.
Yeah.
You get a star attached.
They don't care. Right. Then they don't care.
Yeah. That's what
it's the old joke. How many network executives does it take to screw in a light bulb? Does it have to be a light bulb? It's.
I forgot about that.
So. Yeah.
And that, you know, but now it's a little more exciting in that there's a lot of cable stations that you can go to, like Hulu and Netflix and all these things. And
right.
So there's more opportunity, less sure money, but more opportunity.
Right.
And they're not as strict. Like, you can have, like, damaged women. Damaged women are big now.
Yeah.
You should be.
No, my friend.
Time to dust off that script for the.
Don't you love God Bless Friends that aren't in the business? My friend's like, oh my God, Netflix would love you. You should call. I'm like, okay, well, let me just Google them and call the regular number. Hi.
Hi, Stephanie.
Would you like a show about an old wreck that works in her basement? Oh, great. And they're like, oh, they're doing shows all over. I'm like, Kevin Spacey, they are.
Oh,
for
no.
Chelsea Handler, they are.
Oh, no, for you, they are. Oh, well, sure. Maybe go to Hulu or something like that.
Call sure.
Call them right now.
Amazon.
Hello, Hulu 9473. It's Stephanie Miller calling from a basement.
No, one ringy dingy, two
no,
ringy dingy.
No, I won't be on hold. I don't know what point was I bringing that up.
Know.
It's just more exciting. They do more things now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You are. Yeah.
Damaged Women, Broad City, one of the most funny shows.
Broad City is hysterical.
I'm smelling money for you and me. Is there a more damaged train wrecky woman that you know?
I can't stop thinking about what the show could be. I'm over.
Right? Works in her basement? Come on.
Drink champagne.
With people that try to sabotage her at every turn?
Exactly. Him backstabbing fuck sticks all over the place that I just keep hiring because I'm like, oh, they love me.
Well, at least we're not fuckstabbing backsticks.
Keep your enemies
they
close.
They love me.
Yeah, exactly.
John, this has been despite our friendship, an honor and a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much.
I'm a huge fan of yours.
More so mine. I couldn't be happier to be on here. I hope I didn't make a fool of myself. And
no,
thank you so much.
Awesome.
No, you know,
point.
For my taste, you could. You were entirely too classy. Could you just say fuck for no reason?
I said penis earlier. Wait,
it's a little prim, if you don't mind me saying. Okay.
I'll say fuck.
Okay.
Yay!
Fuck
yay!
It.
Fuck it.
Oh, yay, I got it.
Fuck it, I said fuck.
Oh, fuck it, I made him say fuck. You are, how can we, I don't know, just adore
fuck
you and follow you. You're on Twitter, because I've seen you tweet.
I'm on Twitter, yeah, I have a.
What's your Twitter handle?
It's at John Canale, and I have 396 or something like that followers. I actually know the exact number, because I know when, sometimes someone unfollows you on Twitter, and I'm always curious why they
do that.
You
have social media,
it's
you
no
know,
longer
like
a multiple
insecurity
of three.
Yeah,
what
I have
happened?
Insecurity when I lose one, and I know sometimes they're selling something or whatever.
Sure.
They're trying to piggyback on your thing and trying to sell you, and you don't buy, so they unfriend you. But I am painfully aware of that from day to day.
Oh,
like how many
social media anxiety. Well, that could be your next show. Come on, social media anxiety. Like someone that just obsessively looks at how many likes or. Unfollowings they get,
and you can buy and you go to the services that buy you followers.
Yes,
I'm more of a fan of the anti-social media.
That's, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Spell John Canale so that people can find you on Twitter.
J O N, no H, K I N N A L L Y.
Great,
brilliant writer, amazing man.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Handsome, romantic, father of Daisy the beagle,
and a turtle, a rabbit, and three cats. Daisy.
Okay, and Chris, Planty over there. Planty plants the most amazing garden. You guys have a garden. It's like you're on crack when you go to your garden. It's, it's. Or no, I'm sorry. More like LSD, right? It's just like, wow, that's.
One
and
makes you
they have a
drought. We don't know what to do.
And they have
the
a cat that feels like an otter, as my friend Trish says. Fred, oh, wow. Fred the cat is so solid. He feels like an otter. He's not really even like a cat.
You've got IBD.
Yeah. He's very muscular and also handsome and romantic. Okay. All right. Love you, John Canale.
Love you guys, too.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Happy fucking happy hour, everybody.
Now I can drink more.